And Reb Meir Kinalach is in his room, and he has a stomach ache, and he has a headache. Oy, Reb Meir is so upset and nervous. He can't sleep. He's very tired, but he can't sleep. He is worried and concerned and troubled because of what he has been seeing from the Rambam. Oy vey, the Rambam is a cannibal. He eats hands of human people beings. The Rambam drinks yayin nesech, wine that was poured by goyim, and he wanted to serve it to me. The Rambam would eat meat that has been killed and not from shechita, because he asked his servant Patrus, to kill the cow. I will have to go and report to all the Jewish people that the Rambam has gone off the right way. But he decided that the next morning, before he leaves and gives the report to all the Jewish people around the world against the Rambam, Chas V'Shalem, he will go straight to the Rambam and ask him on each thing and demand an explanation. Why is he doing this? At least he'll give the Rambam a last chance to explain himself. Okay, Kinalach, the next morning, I don't know if Reb Meir woke up because he didn't sleep the whole night, but he comes out in the morning and he wants to go to the Rambam. And as he's going to find where the Rambam is in his house, maybe he's in shul, maybe he came back already, he doesn't know. As Reb Meir is going to speak to the Rambam's servant, what was his name? What was the Rambam's servant knows? Anybody knows? What was his name?
Patrus.
Patrus is looking now for Reb Meir. Reb Meir, the Rambam would like to see you. He is in his private room. Please, go into the Rambam's room. He would like to see you. And Reb Meir says, oh, that's good, because I wanted to see the Rambam. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. Reb Meir goes to the Rambam's room, and the Rambam is there with a big smile on his face. Oh, I'm so happy to see you, Reb Meir. Please come in. And Reb Meir is shown a seat to sit down. Reb Meir says, you know, I don't think I could sit down. I'm too upset. I have to ask you some certain things. The Rambam with a big smile says, look, before you go on asking, let me please, if I may, tell you a few things. I know, number one, where you came from and why you came. I know you came to see if I'm okay or I've gone off the right way. Yes. And I also know that when you came, you were very upset to see what I was eating and what I served you. You thought that was a human hand that I was eating. And then I know that you thought my servant Patrus is a goy, and that he brought you wine that you're not supposed to drink, and that upset you very much. And I also know that you were very upset to hear that I asked Patrus to kill a cow to serve the meat from the cow that was killed. And I also know that when you went to your room, you did not sleep the whole night because you're so upset and so worried about what you have seen. I know all of these things. Now, I know you're very tired. Sit down and let me explain each thing. And then you will know not to necessarily trust your eyes and the way you see something, and also not to listen to rumors about what people say that might not be true, but you should find out what's really going on, and maybe that is different than the way you see it. First of all, let's go to the lunch. In Spain grows a very, very delicious and nutritious vegetable that looks like a human hand. It is actually a vegetable, that is very healthy. Now, since I'm a doctor, and I know a lot about how a person should eat, and it's very important that you should eat the right foods, so that kind of a vegetable happens to be very, very good for you. And that's why I served it to you, and I served it for myself. Where you come from, it does not grow. It wasn't a human hand, it was a vegetable. Now, kenalach, Hashkacha Pratis, just last week, when it was the Rambam's Yard site, there came out a picture from a certain place in Manhattan, and this place imports, it brings in vegetables from all over the world. One of the vegetables they took a picture of, because they showed pictures of this place, was this picture that I'm holding in my hand, and I'll go around to each table. Do you see what this looks like? What does this look like to you? Next to the orange. It looks exactly like a hand. This is a picture of that vegetable that the Rambam ate for lunch and that he served to Reb Meir. And you see, this looks like a human hand. And it's a vegetable that comes from the other side of the world. It doesn't say exactly where. But this is a vegetable that actually grows. Do you see it looks like a hand with the fingers? I'm showing it to each table over here. Hashkacha Pratis, that it just came out, mamish, close to the day or on the day of the Rambam's Yard site last week. And somebody brought it to Yeshiva that everybody should see, because we started hearing this story. And this is exactly the vegetable that the Rambam ate. It looks exactly like a hand. You see it? Okay? Now, kinalah, Reb Meir felt, well, of course, the Rambam didn't want to embarrass him, make him feel bad, but he has to show him the emes. And the Rambam says, "Oi, I'm so sorry. It looked like a human hand." And the Rambam says, "Yes, but of course it was not. It's a vegetable, and it's kosher, and it's very good for you." And Reb Meir says, "Well, what about the wine?" And the Rambam smiles again. He says, "Look, Patrus is a Jew. Not only that, but if you'll remember, in the Gemara, not the Bavli, in Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, in Moed Katan, it talks about the father-in-law of the great tzaddik, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And the wife of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his father-in-law, his name was Patrus. So we see a Yid in the Gemara, a tzaddik, has the name Patrus. So Patrus could also be a Jewish name. And all of a sudden, Ramer thinks to himself, "Hey, that's right. I must have forgotten that Gemara. Patrus, it could be a Jewish name." So it was not the Yain Nesech after all. It was wine that was poured by a Jew. Patrus. What about killing the cow? Okay, tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will continue about killing the cow, because we have to explain a certain halacha in Shulchan Aruch. All right. Now, Reb Meir is finding out the truth. The truth is not like it looked to his eyes. The hand that the Rambam was eating was not the hand of a person. Who knows what that hand was that the Rambam was eating?
A vegetable.
It was a delicious and nutritious vegetable called whatever it was. Who knows what it was called? But we saw a picture of it, and it's a real vegetable. This vegetable grew in Spain, but not in the place where Meir came from. So he wasn't used to it. Kenalach, you know what some people do? If they're not used to it, there's two things you could do. "I'm not used to it." Well, find out what it is. Somebody just said, "Try it." Well, it's a good thing to try it if it's a kosher thing to try. You have to find out, is this a thing I can serve Hashem with? Is it a kosher thing? Is it a good thing? Maybe I should try it. You know, Hashem made many, many things in the world. So maybe Hashem wants us to try many, many things in the world. Why shouldn't we, if they're kosher? Maybe they'll help us and avoid us Hashem if they truly are good for us. But we have to, of course, check it out first. But you know what some people do if they're not used to it? They say, something's wrong with it. I'm not used to it. Not that, whoa, let me find out something new. Let me find out. Hashem made a big world with many things. Let me find out something new. No, they say, I'm not used to it. Let me find something wrong with it. Because I only want to stay with what I'm used to. I don't want to find out anything new. What does a smart person do? Does he just stay with what he's used to? Or he always finds out new things and learns new things? Who is a chacham? A smart person learns new things all the time. He doesn't just stay with what he's used to. But this Reb Meir, you know, wasn't used to this vegetable. Right away he says, it looks like a human hand. It must be a human hand. It wasn't a human hand. Then, with Patrus and the Yain Nesech, did Patrus turn out to be a goy? Or he was a Yid? Okay, Patrus was a Yid. In the Gemara, he is the father of the wife of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That means he is Yehoshua ben Levi's father-in-law. Now we are holding by killing the cow. The Rambam had told Patrus to kill the cow. Now even though Patrus turns out to be a Yid, still, how do you get a cow ready to eat? Do you kill him or do you shecht him?
Him.
What do you do?
Shecht him.
You shecht him. You gotta shecht the cow. A kosher shechita. And now Reb Meir is wondering, why in the world would the Rambam tell Patrus, Pat, to kill the cow? Because that sounds not exactly kosher. And the Rambam again smiles. Everything the Rambam did was with a smile in Besimcha. The Rambam said, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, a very interesting halacha. Okay. There is a halacha, a very interesting halacha, that if the sheichet shechted a cow, and it was a kosher shechita, and of course the cow is kosher to eat, but all of a sudden, the boydek, all of a sudden, the one who now looks through the cow to find all the different things that it says in Shulchan Aruch to look for, because they check all the different parts of the cow, even after they shecked it, all of a sudden, inside the big cow, they find a little cow. The little cow was inside of the big cow. Now, how do you think a little cow, a living cow, could be inside of a big cow? How do you think that could be?
Because it's ready to get born.
It's ready to get born. That's right. Cows also have little cows. That's how more cows get in the world. Because from big cows come little cows. Then they grow up to be big cows. And then come from them little cows. And that's how the cows go. There was a living little cow inside of the big cow. Do you know that the little cow does not need shechita? Because when the big cow was shechted, that shechita for the big cow also went for the little cow. That little cow does not need to be shechted. It only needs to be killed. And that is a halacha and a din. Now maybe there's a lot more to know about that, but that's what the story said. And that is basically it. So when the Rambam said, the Rambam smiles and he said, we have such a cow that was inside of a big cow. And that little cow I wanted to have made for your meal because it's a perfectly fine cow. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, which is the laws of Hashem, that little cow need to be killed, not to be shechted. So I asked Patrus, kill the cow? And Reb Meir sees, Kenelach, that all three things were perfectly fine. The hand was fine, and the wine was fine, and the cow was fine, and everything was fine. And he saw the Rambam for sure was fine, and the Rambam was a Halak Yid. And not only he went back and he told people the Rambam is okay, he said how the Rambam is a Halak Tzaddik and a wonderful person. And not only that, you have to look at the Sefer that the Rambam wrote, and you have to judge it in a good way, and you should not chas v'shalom judge it in a not good way. And everything, if you don't know what it is exactly and you're not sure, find out before you start saying chas v'shalom not good things about it. It might be perfectly fine, but to your eyes, at first, it doesn't look that way. You have to find out for sure. Everyone knows that they should look at my nose, that I know that you're listening to the story. Because I cannot tell a story unless somebody is listening. I cannot go into a room by myself with a microphone. Sometimes a person says, how come you have all those kids on the tape? What do you need them for? And I say, if the kids wouldn't be there, there would be no tape. Because I'm telling a story to the kids. I can't go and tell a story to just a microphone in a room with nobody there. I can't do it. So because of the kids, that's why you have this story, and that's why you have the tape. I'm telling kids a story. It's a tape, so okay, so the tape recorder is there. If it's not there, it's also a story. It happened in the Alter Rebbe Shul. A woman came running in, and she was very, very upset, screaming and crying. And obviously she had never been in the Alter Rebbe Shul before, because she was asking people in the street, where is the Alter Rebbe Shul? Where is the Alter Rebbe Shul? Emergency, emergency, I must go to the Alter Rebbe Shul. Well, it's over there. And she runs into the shul. Now, of course, the way a shul is built, as we all know, you don't run right into the shul. There's a room all the time before the shul. And that's all pi'alacha. There has to be a room that you enter into, which is not the shul. Maybe there's a sink over there, or maybe it's a hallway, or maybe, you know, whatever it is, you hang up your coats over there. But you don't go from the street into the shul. So she go into the little room before the shul, and she's screaming, I must see the Alter Rebbe, it's an emergency! Now, nobody was in that room. Nobody was there. And all of a sudden, Reb Shmuel Munkus comes from the hallway into that little room. He was the first one in there, and nobody else was around. And Reb Shmuel Munkus sees this woman screaming and crying, and he's very concerned. What's wrong? Now, this woman did not know that this is Reb Shmuel Munkus. And she did not know what the Alter Rebbe looked like. All she knew, here is a Yid with a beard, and he looks very special. Reb Shmuel Munkus also looked very special. And she thinks this is the Alter Rebbe. She says, it's such an emergency. My daughter is supposed to have a baby, but there's complications, and the doctor is worried, and the baby is not getting born the way it should, and the midwife and the people there are all very concerned. It's a big emergency, and they said that I should come to the shul, the Alter Rebbe, to get a bracha, because nothing is helping the way the doctors are doing it, and the midwives, and whoever else is there, and the baby is complicated. My daughter has pain, and they said I should get a bracha from the Alter Rebbe, so I'm coming here, and please, Rebbe, give me a bracha. Now, she thinks he's the Alter Rebbe. Now, Reb Shmuel Munkus knew the Alter Rebbe was not in shul, but this woman has the emergency now. So he said to the woman, look, go home, or wherever your daughter is, and say Yizkor 7 times. And Hashem will help, everything will be fine, the baby will be born in health and gesundheit. Now, as we know, or maybe we don't know, It's probably better we don't know, but we know a little bit. And whatever we know, we know. Whatever we don't know, I'll explain to you now. If Chas V'Shalom, somebody lost a parent or their parents, if they passed away, so they will say on Yantiv, no, it's always during the Yamim Tavim, a special thing called Yizker, which means remembering. They remember the neshama of the person, they mention the person, and they also say they will give tzedakah in the name of the person, and that person should be close to Hashem, and all the tzaddikim or the tzaddikas is in Gan Eden, in the schus of that tzedakah, and it's a quiet, serious time. Whoever lost a parent. Now, if, with Hashem's help, there are people in the shul that have both parents alive, they will not be in the shul. The minig is they go out of the shul. They leave. They go outside or in the hallways, and they leave the shul. So only in the shul are the people that lost a parent or parents, and everyone else goes out of the shul. And now, of course, especially the kids, the young children, hopefully they have both their parents. Well, you know, mostly the kids leave, and a lot of the adults leave, and some of the adults have to stay if their parents passed away. Okay, now, Reb Shmuel says to this woman, go home and say Yizkor 7 times. Now, of course, the woman is not in the mood or way to start asking a bunch of questions. And if anybody would be standing there listening, and nobody was there, they would say, what does Yizkor have to do with having a baby? But this is what Reb Shmuel said. And the woman ran out of the shul. A day or two later, all of a sudden, this woman comes back into the shul, and she's holding this big tray of beautiful cakes and cookies and delicious things she made and fruit, and she's smiling. And she comes in and she sees some Hasidim there. She says, I must see the Alter Rebbe. I must say thank you to the Alter Rebbe because he helped in a very wonderful way, and everything is wonderful. Well, these people didn't know who this woman is because they didn't see her. The only person that saw her was Reb Shmuel Munkus, but they say she wants to see the Alter Rebbe. They see that she wants to see the Alter Rebbe. She's got a big tray of mezainis, and she was let in to see the Alter Rebbe. All of a sudden, she goes into the Alter Rebbe's room carrying this big tray, and she sees the Alter Rebbe. She says, excuse me, but I would like to see the Alter Rebbe because I want to thank him because such a wonderful thing happened and I have this tray of cake. And the Rebbe says, you want to see the Alter Rebbe? She says, yeah, is he here? I was here yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was. I was just here and I would like to thank the Alter Rebbe. Now, of course, she's talking to the Alter Rebbe, but she doesn't know that's the Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe says, by the way, why don't you tell me what happened, and then I'll see what I can do to find the Alter Rebbe. This is the Alter Rebbe. Well, okay, I'll tell you. My daughter was going to have a baby, and it was very difficult. She was having complications, and the midwife couldn't help her, and the doctor couldn't help her, and everybody was worried, and they said it was an emergency, and they said I should come to the Alter Rebbe, and I should come to get a bracha, or find out what to do. So I came, and the Alter Rebbe said I should go home and say Yizkor 7 times. So I said Yizkor 7 times, and a few minutes later, the baby was born. Everybody said, Mazel, the baby was healthy, and all the problems went away. So I brought this tray, and I wanted to thank the Alter Rebbe with all the cakes and things that I baked for him. And of course, the Alter Rebbe understood that who in the world would say Yizkor 7 times? It must be, who do you think?
Shmuel Munkus.
Reb Shmuel Munkus. So he calls in Reb Shmuel Munkus into the room. Oh, it's the Alter Rebbe, it's the Alter Rebbe. Of course, Reb Shmuel is embarrassed. I'm sorry, I'm not the Alter Rebbe. This is the Alter Rebbe. What? You're the Alter Rebbe? But you're the Alter Rebbe. There's 2 Alter Rebbes? And of course, the Alter Rebbe was smiling. And Reb Shmuel probably turned red. He was embarrassed. And the Alter Rebbe said, okay, Reb Shmuel, first of all, this is Reb Shmuel Munkus. I'm the Alter Rebbe. And let's find out why Reb Shmuel Munkus said to you to say Yizkor 7 times. And Reb Shmuel says, look, it's simple. Her daughter was going to have a baby, and the baby wouldn't come out. The baby wouldn't get born. So I said, look, when you say Yizkor, what happens in the shul? All the children go out, right? And I say, you say Yizkor, the children go out. So I figure she goes home to say Yizkor 7 times. By Yizkor, the children go out. So she's going to say Yizkor. It's going to help the child to go out. She said Yizkor 7 times. The child was born.